Highlands Park.
It's time for Sheridan County Fair Hourly Update, presented in part by Heartland Kubota, Truebill Builders, McDonald's, and Blacktooth Large Animal. Good morning, everyone. The market goats and market lamb weigh-in will be until noon today. At 1 o'clock, the swine will move in and set up. From 4 to 7, the market swine weigh-in is on, and the swine are staying on site. From 7 to 8, the market swine weigh-in with show and go swine takes place. SheridanMedia.com, we're going to be live streaming, as we have been all week, and we'll continue to do so on SheridanMedia.com. All events are subject to change at a moment's notice. The Sheridan County Fair Update, presented in part by Heartland Kubota, Truebill Builders, McDonald's, and Blacktooth Large Animal. Keep listening for daily updates every day during the fair. And make sure you go to our website, SheridanMedia.com, and check out the Everything Fair page. More updates coming up right here on this Sheridan Media radio station and online at SheridanMedia.com.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Wednesday, July 30th, from Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, I'm joined by Hub on Smith Director of Development, Ryan Koltiska. Good morning, Ryan. Welcome back.
Good morning, Floyd.
Now, how's the summer been down at the Hub?
You know, it's been pretty good. Everything's just moving and grooving. Lots of people coming in, and it's an interesting thing. People always say, well, probably in the summertime, less people come, but we have a pretty steady flow all year long, so it's great.
You got AC in there. That's probably the big ticket. You got nice air conditioning.
Good air conditioning, good food.
Good place to
good
go
friends,
have lunch,
yeah.
Cool off for a little bit and catch up. Now, you told me that the Hub's been getting a lot of questions about how these programs are funded. Kind of a big hot button issue right now throughout the entire nation. Can you walk us through where the money comes from?
You bet. Yeah, I just wanted to talk about that today because we are getting a lot of questions, and I think maybe more so just in the past 6 months because of what's going on in the administration and some of the cuts that are coming down. And so we get a lot of those questions. And so I thought, you know, this is a good time to talk about how we are funded and is it going to affect us or has it? We get about, and this is, this these are round numbers because each program that we have is different. But for the whole Hub, about 40% of our funding comes from federal funding, state funding. Usually what it is, it's federal funding coming through the state. But we get about 40% that comes from that. And then the rest we have to make up. And so so just to start with the federal funding, one of the questions is, well, did we get cut? And actually, we thought we were going to get cut this year because we there were just, you know,
Cuts across the board,
and there was rumors of the Older Americans Act getting cut and some different things. We did not, and so that is great news. And so that piece for this year is solid. We got just a hair increase in a couple little programs, but not enough to keep up with actual costs, but just a hair increase. And then we get about 30% of our income from program revenue, which is a big word for people paying for services. So whether it's people paying for the meals or their in-home services, they're paying a portion of the cost of those things. And so we get about 30%. And sometimes that comes from Medicaid or the VA. But so those are the contributions that we receive from the patrons who get the services. So just 30% of the funding comes from that. And then 25% comes from fundraising, so the community. So the generosity of this community makes up the other 25% of our revenue, which is amazing. And I think it's a testimony to our community because what we have at the Hub literally cannot happen without the generosity of this community. It's not because 40% of federal funding doesn't make up the other 60%. And so it's pretty big. And that 25% is about $1.2 million. And so that comes from our foundations, from private donors, from gifts, from fundraisers. And if you're doing the math, There's 5% left, and that's, we call that the other line item. And that's things like we have an endowment that we take a draw from each year, and that makes up a portion of that, and some rental income, but it's just a small portion.
Now, when we talk about the efforts by the individuals who are going out there, pounding the pavement, knocking on doors, making phone calls, or volunteers who are manning up to the tables as they gather, you know, donations and things like that, what are the massive efforts that are actually being taken by our volunteers and our employees to help with that fundraising effort? I mean, 1/4 is a lot.
It is a lot, yeah. You know, people love the hub, and they, like, people always come from different communities. In fact, I've seen quite a few people this year come from out of town. They stop in the hub. They want to see it because they're thinking of moving here, and they're like, wow, we don't have this in our community. And the reason is because we have a great supportive community that allows us to have such a great facility, such great programs, and such a vibrant senior center. The efforts are, it's a puzzle. We call it a funding puzzle because it's not just one thing that makes that happen. You know, we write grants. We have local, such great support from our local foundations. And so there's the grant writing involved in that, and just the partnerships that have been created over the past 25, 50 years with those foundations. You know, we did the Keystone Awards this spring, and that's a fundraiser for the hub. We had Wild Gives last week, and we were so thankful for the community. We raised over $15,000 that day.
Oh, that's considerable.
Yeah, it was amazing. And so that's just, and then it's people sending in $25 a month just to help, you know, pay for someone's meals. And it's, so it's just all the little different pieces coming from all different types. And we've got volunteers to help us do that. And my job is primarily, you know, grant writing and keeping up with a lot of those donors. And so it's just it's a group effort. We have great board members too that are helping out and connecting us with people and connecting them with our mission.
With that 40% that comes from the federal government, I mean, that is considerable. The discussions that were being had among the board and individuals like yourself, they're always, you know, scouring for that funding.
Mm-hmm.
What were those like at the beginning, and what are they like now? Because just because we weren't cut today doesn't mean tomorrow something's
right,
not
right.
over the hill. Now, what are those discussions like, Ryan?
Well, it's interesting. Even before I started, I think over a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, they had the discussion within the board, what would we do if we got no federal funding? Just as kind of an exercise.
Yeah.
And of course, at the time, it was like a pure exercise, like, well, that'll never happen, because in the past 50 years, nobody's ever touched the Older Americans Act. It's a pretty safe. Everybody loves to help our neighbors, our senior neighbors. It's a great thing to do. And so it was just an exercise. And I don't know how much it even the conversation went, because nobody could really fathom it not being there, right? And then how do you make up that 40%, you know? Because you're talking millions, right? And of course, when some of the cuts were coming down this early in the spring, late winter there, that conversation became a very real one, because there's also that funding freeze for that brief moment in time. And we had to say, what do we do? How do we continue? Because overnight, you certainly can't make that up.
Yeah, reach in the locked drawer and grab out that contingency plan.
You know,
right?
there's some reserves, but not enough to continue for a length of time. And so really, the conversations go down to what are the absolute essentials that we could continue or try to continue if the funding didn't happen. And some of it is real too, because even though we didn't get cut directly, the other cuts that have happened fund different organizations or fund different
pools of money
that do affect us, because we lost $110,000 in food money this year in the spring that we were expecting to get. That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
We have to raise over $200,000 a year for our meals program just to get the meals out the door every day. And $110,000 didn't come because the pools of money that came from got cut. And so one day we thought we were getting it, and literally overnight, like, it just, we got the email, I'm so sorry, our funding has been cut and you will not be receiving that grant. And that's while it's not millions and we're thankful for that, it's still one of those moments of how do you make that up?
A punch in the chest.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. And so we are seeing that for sure, where there's some indirect pools of money that we would receive for different programs, not directly from the government, but because they funded food programs. And for some reason, food money got cut in some of these cuts, and I can't understand it because I think if somebody's hungry, you should feed them. And we do that at the hub. If somebody's hungry, we feed them. But it did. And so those are those moments where, you know, we seek out other avenues. We're trying to make connections with new foundations. We're trying to meet people that like our mission, you mm-hmm. know, that like to feed our senior neighbors and like to provide public transportation. And, you know, like we're trying to meet people that believe in what we do.
Ryan, have you sat and thought about collaboration? I mean, as you're getting cut, other individuals are obviously getting cut as well. And it's times like these, you know, the long winters where everybody comes together to stay mm-hmm. warm. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So even organizations going through the long winter, has there been exploratory conversations of where's the neighbor we can lean on and who can in turn lean on us?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think just in general, we do a pretty good job at partnerships and collaboration around the community. You know, nothing at this point is even, you know, everything's on the table. Everything's open for discussion right now. Mm-hmm. And so at the board level, I think that's part of it. Like, you know, I think I would also just say at this moment, there's lots of optimism because at the board level, right now, the conversation is we're not cutting programs. Like we believe in what we do. The people that we serve need what we do. And so we're not cutting the programs. And so that's a wonderful piece because like people are, we serve 3,400 seniors every year.
Yeah.
They're still going to get their services and we're fighting for that. I think just the conversations now are how can we be efficient in what we do? And how can, you know, are there other places where we can, you know, are there places that are doing what we do that we don't need to do? Like if, you know, make sure that there's no overlap of services.
Right.
Which there's not a ton, but we're looking at everything right now to see, are there places that we can restrict or not duplicate or, you know, conversations.
I think about probably, and I'm guessing here, I haven't seen your budget. Probably two of the largest expenditures, I would imagine, excuse me, food and the Goose Creek Transit. Those are two services that are not provided by anybody else, to my knowledge. You know, we talk frequently about meals at home. And the reason we do is because it is such a vital program for individuals.
Absolutely.
And every year the hub's got to kind of fight a little bit to get, you know, further funding for Goose Creek Transit. And yet every time I drive downtown, someone's waiting at that bus stop. This is a service that is used throughout the community frequently. It also ensures that seniors get to the appointments that they need to get to. The initial reason for the program, to make sure that these people are taken care of. I would think that those are two of your biggest expenditures, and that'd be really tough to have to, well, we're going to reduce this or reduce that, the food or the Goose Creek, because someone somewhere along the line is going to suffer.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, meals is in those conversations of, you know, what would happen if funding got cut? Like there are priority programs that we have, and the meals is the number one across the board. Everybody believes that we will continue to serve meals, and we will fight for that, whatever that takes.
Now, you said you haven't had to cut any programs.
No.
First off, amazing. Excelsior, my friend. How are you guys holding the line?
Yeah, well, you know, we did, our federal funding is coming through, so that's good. We also have had to make some restrictions, and so and restrictions in service industry means we've had to cut a few positions, which kills us, but that's just the reality of where we were. And you know how, and I think that's just one of those ways of we can't cut the program, but can we do something more efficient? And that's the way to do it. And so we've had to restrict the budget. And for our next fiscal year, we've cut the budget by $500,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a considerable amount of
money. Yeah, it's a lot.
You have served thousands of seniors each year. Can you give us a sense of just how far-reaching those services that we were talking about, the Goose Creek Transit and the Meals at Home, how far reaching are those in the Sheridan County community?
Yeah, I think it's interesting to hear the numbers, because you just think, wow, just in little Sheridan County. But we have 80 volunteers a week deliver to 350 people at their homes every 5 days a week. And that adds up to almost 70,000 meals a year just to people's homes. Like that's, wow, in Sheridan County, that's a lot of meals in a small place. And those meals are vital for so many of those people that receive them. And the well checks, you have the people that are delivering those meals to homes where people live alone. And so that piece is huge. And, you know, I just even think, We're serving 3,400 seniors in this county, which that means we're serving 10% of the population of this county.
Wow.
With our services. And that's not just meals, but that's when you add up, you know, we have six or seven different programs that we do, and we're touching 3,400 unique individuals, seniors in this community with those services. And that's, there's not a whole lot of programs or businesses even that, you know, touch 10% of the community.
Yeah.
And so it's a big deal.
Tough times, people do stand up. Can you speak to the role that the Sheridan community and your volunteers actually have in keeping the doors open?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, just the generosity. Like I said, that 25% of our funding comes from our community. We have just a handful of donors outside of this community. Outside of that, that over $1 million that we raise every year comes directly from Sheridan County. And that's huge. That's a lot of money. And we understand that. And we try and be really good stewards of that. And we're so grateful. And so when people give $10, when people give $1,000, and we've got donors that give $100,000, it all matters so much. When we receive $25 a month from some individuals that, because they care about the meals program, like that matters so much to those people receiving that. And so, just donating how you can makes a huge difference. Whether it is that 25 or 100 or whatever it is, but also our volunteers, we have 450 volunteers, and none of it could happen without them. You know, it's, when you talk about delivering 70,000 meals a year, like that's not staff delivering those meals. That's all volunteers.
That's amazing.
And I know we've talked about it before, but every time I talk about it, like every day, you know, 5 days a week, people are taking those meals. And it's a sacrifice for people that do it.
That's a battalion.
Yeah.
You have a battalion of individuals.
Absolutely. And then you just think, we've got volunteers in our dining room that come and serve the meals and bust the tables and I'll do all that and roll the silverware. And there's another 40,000 meals that happen in our dining room. And that happens 5 days a week as well. And that also does not happen. You know, we have one front of the house staff member, and the other ones that do all the bussing and the rolling of the silverware and all that stuff, those are all volunteers. And so again, like just what we have could not happen without the support of this community. It's incredible.
There's sweat equity, you know, and
yeah.
people donating, maybe they can't do it monetarily, but they put service out. And I want to thank every individual out there right now who may be listening, who's a volunteer at the Hub, because what you do, no matter what role that is absolutely vital. On that, we're going to take a quick commercial break. More with the Hub on Smith right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Another great summer event is coming up soon, the Sheridan County Fair.
Fair and livestock exhibitions are the foundation for agricultural promotion and a time to remind everyone of the key role that agriculture plays in our local economy and daily lives. It provides opportunities for youth and adult education.
The First Federal Bank and Trust family would like to extend congratulations to all the youth who worked so hard all year long to be able to show at the County Fair. Community is the heart of First Federal.
First Federal Bank and Trust, true community banking, member FDIC.
The Sheridan Farmers Market is back for another great season at Whitney Commons Park. You'll find local produce, meat, eggs, coffee, baked goods, and outstanding locally handcrafted items this Thursday and every Thursday from 5 to 7 p.m. through September 18th. See the best our hardworking local producers have to offer at the Sheridan Farmers Market, Thursday evenings in Whitney Commons Park. Sponsored in part by Sheridan Media. And remember, please leave your pets at home.
You want to take the boat out on the lake in there and go fishing, eh?
Oh, yeah, sure. You betcha. That there sounds like a humdinger of an idea.
You want to go for them lake trout? Ooh, northerns. Maybe the herring.
Either way, we could submit a picture on that there, the Fish Your Bass Off photo contest at SheridanMedia.com that runs through Labor Day.
Yeah, we could win them prizes at 300 from Connect Home Center and another 300 from Century 21 BHJ Realty.
Oof, now what you gonna do with all that prize money then?
Probably buy some downriggers and go fishing.
Yeah, that's their idea, playing Peaver.
The following message is presented by Century 21 BHJ, 101 South Main.
Shout out to all tennis players. The Bill Brooks Doubles Tournament will be August 8th through 10th at the new Sheridan High School tennis courts. The categories will be women's, mixed, and men's doubles. Grab a partner and sign up. Contact Bob Farreau at 307-751-5819 or farreaub@hotmail.com. See you on the courts.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm Floyd Whiting. This morning we're speaking with Hub on Smith Director of Development Ryan Koltiska. Ryan, you just wrapped up Operation Independence Campaign. How did it go and what was the initial goal behind it all?
Yeah, so our Operation Independence Campaign happens every summer and we do it through June and July. So we have today and tomorrow left.
we're getting close.
And our goal for Operation Independence is $30,000. And that it goes to help all the programs we've talked about, keep the doors open. And our goal at the beginning of the campaign was 30, and we're just about there. I think the last time I looked, we're at 29. So we're almost there. So if you're listening and you want to help us get to our goal, you can get there in the next couple of days, and you can even donate online. Go online and we have a give button and you can give and help us get to that $30,000 goal. And that goes to our programs like meals and transportation and all
and
that.
Even just the $5-$10. I mean, if you had a whole handful of individuals just give the change out of their pocket, I mean, you could reach that goal.
Oh, absolutely. It matters so much. It's not always how much each person can give, but we have 800 donors and some of them are give $5, but it doesn't, that final number doesn't add up until, you know, we have probably 500 or 600 of those donors are donors under $100.
Yeah.
And that matters. So, because we can't get to that final goal without that. In fact, between our summer campaign and our one during the holidays, that number from individual donors that give less than $100, it's a couple hundred thousand dollars a year that we get. And so it really matters.
You know, just jump online, folks. $5, $10, $20. They could reach this goal. Continue these programs that so many people rely on. And the seniors, you mentioned over 3,400 seniors benefit from programs like the meals and the transportations. if folks wanted to get involved, if they're like, you know, I just, things are tight. I don't have the 5 or 10, but maybe I can give that sweat equity.
Oh, absolutely.
We have how can I volunteer?
Lots of opportunities. Like meals is always delivery. You know, it doesn't have to be every day. It doesn't have to even be every week. You can say, you know, I can do it once a month on this day and you can deliver. You can be a substitute where if somebody that normally takes a route, you can be like on call, like, hey, can you come and do it? So there's the meals, there's the dining room where, again, you can come one day a month, one day a week. It doesn't have to be every day. It's just when you can. Some things to start thinking of. I know it's still summer right now, but one of the things that happens that's really important is snow removal. And I just talked to one of our staff yesterday about the need for snow removal because one of our caregivers who's taking care of a spouse was over 70 trying their spouse as you know, they're the caregivers, so their spouse can't do it. And so it's somebody over 70 that was trying to remove snow last year and broke a bone.
Yeah.
And we have snow removal crews, but it was a very weak crew last year. Not weak because of the people in it. They were actually tough. I think there was 4 people that were doing 60 homes.
Wow.
So they were tough, but like weak as in numbers, like we need people that can, and again, you don't have to do all of those 60 homes, but if you can say, yeah, I will take, you know, one home this winter or something, like that matters. And so again, just we need help, whether it's, you can teach a class, you can be a kind of a buddy for one of our seniors that just needs
someone to talk to.
And again, it's based on your schedule. So yeah, if you have moments in your life that you can give back, it matters. And all you have to do is just call the hub and talk to Marcy Morrow. She's our volunteer coordinator and she'll get you connected.
And she's great.
She is.
She's fantastic. And being able to call her up and say, you know, hey, this is my skill set. Where can I fit in at the hub? And she works with you. You know, you don't have to go in there and get assigned something that you're not going to understand.
Right.
As you said, you could teach a class. If you like to craft, find something fun to craft with a bunch of folks. I mean, you could end up actually opening some really great doors in your own life.
Absolutely.
By doing these things. Now, the hub is currently in transition. Can you update us on the search for a new executive director?
Yeah, absolutely. The board posted the job. Oh gosh, I can't remember what day it is anymore. Earlier in this month, posted the executive director job. And so they've been collecting resumes for the past few weeks. I do believe they'll start interviewing this coming month and just starting that process and finding somebody to lead the charge.
This usually takes quite a while.
Yeah, the last one took months. You know, the whole process last time around took probably 6 months. But we don't, you know, it's just one of those things, you don't know what to expect. You don't know what kind of the candidate pool you'll receive. And then the right candidates, you don't know how long you would have to wait. You know, if they had to quit a job and, you know, you have to, so, you know, you don't know, but you know, the good news in the meantime, there's 4 directors. It's me and our director of finance, our human resources director and our operations director. And so we're managing all of the day-to-day stuff. And then we meet weekly with the board who's kind of stepped in on those executive level decisions. And so they've stepped in and they're really supportive and helping us however we need and willing to just, they're just taking the reins on some things that we need that executive level.
You know? Yes or no, that's
yes,
all we need today.
Yeses or nos and we need direction and stuff that we can't make those decisions without that. But they've been great. It's such a great board there. So we meet weekly and they're also always a phone call away. And so we just, all of us kind of have our board members we can reach out to and get the help we need. And so in the meantime, we're
making do.
The programs are still running and staff are still doing the great job that they do. And when the hard decisions need to be made, we call the board.
Yeah. I think it's actually a really excellent plan, you know, kind of managing through good leadership And then once you actually have to kind of leave that little manager committee that you guys have formed, going upstairs and having everybody kind of get involved in that conversation. That's the way I kind of like it myself. Now, as we look to fall and a new fiscal year,
mm-hmm.
what's your message to the people of Sheridan?
You know, our message at the Hub is, you know, and people have been worried about the Hub just because of what's going on in the administration and the cuts. Like, how are you doing? Are you going to make it? You know, and the truth is, yeah, we do not see any reason to cut any programs. That's not like pipe dreams. That's like, we've done our budget for the next year. It's not completely solidified, but like, we've done it and we see that everything can maintain. And we just we appreciate people's support, and we would just ask that, you know, if you're able to in any way, you know, come and help out.
Yeah. Yeah. Hub will be as strong as our community. I'll tell you that. Ryan, thank you for coming in this morning and being so candid with the information. I greatly appreciate it, my friend, and thank you for everything that you do.
Thanks, Floyd.
All right. When we come back, we're going to speak with the Sundowner Lions Club. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Need a bank that works on your schedule?
At First Federal Bank and Trust, you can open personal checking and savings accounts anytime, online or through the First Federal app.
It's quick, simple, and designed to fit your life.
And as we celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're proud to keep making banking easier for you. Open an account today at efirstfederal.bank or on the app.
First Federal Bank and Trust, 90 years of putting our community first.
Member FDIC.
You're running a business out of your garage. And your office? That's the back seat of your truck. It's time to upgrade. A Shopominium is your own commercial condo, heated, insulated, powered up, and ready to work. Perfect for welders, woodworkers, side hustlers, and folks who need more than a corner of the laundry room. Shopominiums gives you a pro space without the landlord drama. Call Donna Garland at Sheridan Realty Associates and ask about Shopominiums today.
Get ready, Sheridan. Crazy Days Silly Socks is coming July 31st through August 2nd.
Downtown businesses are rolling out their best deals of the summer with indoor and outdoor sales you won't want to miss.
It's 3 days of unbeatable bargains, sidewalk specials, and big savings from your favorite local shops.
This year's theme? Silly Socks. Wear your freshest pair and join the fun while you shop.
Crazy Days, July 31st through August 2nd in downtown Sheridan.
Shop local, save big, throw some socks on. See you downtown.
Not sure who to trust with a redo of the roof and siding on your home? Call the pros. This is Nate with Pro Plus, and we've been Northeastern Wyoming's premier roofing, siding, and storm damage restoration contractor for over 20 years. We are fully licensed, bonded, insured, and have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't trust your most valuable investment with just any contractor. Call the pros. We'll handle all the repairs and walk you through the insurance process. Give us a call today, 675-0889, for a free, no-obligation inspection and estimate.
In Buffalo, Wyoming, you don't fall for parking lot promises and handshake hustles from fly-by-night Johnnies who might sell you a lemon and vanish by sundown. At Prime Rate Motors, we've been rooted right here for years, built on trust, not tricks. Locals know if you want real wheels and real deals, you come to the folks who live where they sell. Prime Rate Motors, no gimmicks, no fast talk, just fair deals, solid rides, and folks will still be here tomorrow. 2305 Coffeen Avenue in Sheridan. Prime Rate Motors, Wyoming owned and Wyoming proud.
Mandy Kolciska from Century 21 BHJ Realty brings you this Pet of the Week from the Dog and Cat Shelter. 3-year-old Zoe loves walks, afternoon naps, and playing in the yard with her toys. This shepherd is a good girl hoping for a good home. Oreo, Vanilla, and Snickerdoodle are 3 guinea pigs ready to entertain you. They love to play and chase each other around and would really love to meet you. They're waiting for you at the Dog and Cat Shelter.
Hey, you in the pink and blue bass boat, show me your bass.
What? You expect me to just show my bass to a stranger on the lake?
Well, I ain't no stranger. I done seen you out here fishing all the time. That makes us boat buddies.
Well, since you put it that way, here, get a load of my epic bass.
Ooh-ee, girl, that's the most picture-perfect bass I ever seen.
Did you just take a photo of my bass?
Well, yeah, I want to submit it to the Fish Your Bass Off photo contest at sharemedia.com. I'm sure to win.
Is that the one where you can submit photos on the contest page now through Labor Day and win $300 from Connect Home Center and $300 from Century 21 BHJ Realty?
That's the one.
Then snap away, but get my good side.
Well, girl, there ain't no bad side.
Are you looking to make extra cash and sell your unwanted items? Go to sharedmedia.com, post your items for free, or choose from our menu of options. You can have your items posted in the Country Bounty, read on Swap Shop, or listed on the front page of sharedmedia.com. Go to the classified section on sharedmedia.com. Let's get your items sold and turned into cash. If you're a business owner, you can post your employment opportunities. It's all right there, classified section, sharedmedia.com.
The Jack Lopes Explore Podcast.
How did aliens help the ancient Egyptians build the Great Pyramid of Giza?
That's how it should be.
Yes. Yes. Because we're not even questioning anything there.
Right? No.
Yes, how did it happen?
This happened, but how?
How? Did it happen?
Right. A, infused them with super strength. B, bioengineered camels to help pull the stones.
Ooh, I wish.
C, used their technology to levitate the stones. Or D, put up, you can do it, motivational posters.
Jack Lopes Explore, brought to you by Cloud Peak Lanes and Games at SheridanMedia.com.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For our second part this morning, I'm joined by Sundowner Lions Club members Jim Rapp and Eric Kulvinska.
Kulvinskis.
Yes, and Bill Rathburn. Good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. To start, can one of you introduce to listeners who the Sundowner Lions are and what the club's primary mission and service areas are?
Well, the Sundowner Lions Club has been going since when? 1980 what, Jim?
1981.
And at that point in time, we had two Lions Clubs in Sheridan. We had the Noon Lions Clubs and the Sundowner Lions Clubs. And the both Lions Clubs were reducing in membership, and we joined together in about 2006 or 7 or 8, somewhere in there. We joined together, and the agreement we made at the time, then we were to keep the charter of the Noon Lions Club, because that charter was 1921, and we kept the name of the Sundowner Lions Club. So that was the agreement we made, and our mission is sight. Our main mission is sight. Many of the Lions Clubs also deal in diabetes and other things as well. Sponsor leader dogs, dogs that are specifically trained for leading the blind around.
So oh, wow.
We sponsor that. One of our members has a leader dog. So that's another one of the missions we have. But sight is our main mission. We take care of eyeglasses for kids from K through 12. We've recently been taking care of surgeries, many surgeries for the adult population. We partner with the Rocky Mountain Lions Eye Bank and the Rocky Mountain Lions Eye Institute for monies to help us with eye surgeries for for adults.
That's incredible. I didn't know you guys were kind of expanded into the surgeries.
Yes, it did. Several years ago that they started the Eye Bank. Well, if you fill everything out, send in. The board of directors meets every 2 months, and they'll go through the applications. And if they approve it, they will pay 80% of the surgery cost.
Wow.
Then the Lions of Wyoming Foundation will then pay another 10%, and that leaves only 10% for the local clubs to pay. And Story, Sheridan Sundowners, and Bighorn Clubs, we split that 10%, which makes a tremendous difference. But people have to need the money and not, we don't just,
yeah,
you know, you and I or any of us here, we would never qualify for that.
Yeah, it's vetted.
Right.
And so the people who need it the most,
correct,
get it. And yeah, I think that's fantastic. Now, let's talk about peaches. We're going to skip a couple questions here. This has become an annual tradition. Tell us how this fundraiser works and just exactly what cause it actually supports.
Okay, well, back to the eyeglasses and the surgeries and that. It's the biggest thing that they supports, but...
And just real quick, I want to say, you guys actually support vision testing as well, correct?
Yes.
So that is, yes, being done by our Lions.
Right. And the vision screening we do at schools when they request it. Holy Name, we've done it every year since we've had the machine, and that's been, what, 12 years, something like that? And we've also done it in KC. We did it in Claremont. Did it in Arvada when they still had a school there.
Wyola.
Yeah, Wyola. Lodgegrass. And the reason we did it in Montana was the closest Lions Club that had a vision screening machine was in Billings. So it was a lot closer for us to go up and do it than the people coming all the way down from Billings.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so.
Now, these peaches, Bill, this is something you guys started, I think it was last year, or was this 2 years now?
Oh, I think we're in our third year this year, I believe.
2 years ago, yeah.
And we used to have peaches in pears, but last year they had a major hailstorm that ruined all the pears, and they still don't have them back yet. Their orchard isn't back yet, so we just have peaches this year from the Nolan Orchards in Palisades, Colorado.
That's okay. Bill, the peaches are better than pears anyhow. Now, last year the peaches went at $40 per 20-pound box. Is pricing about the same this year?
Pricing's the same this year.
Okay. What about the logistics of it all? Is it kind of we've got a line made and we're just going to keep using that?
Well, we've got a line made and we're going to be at Farmer's Market this coming Thursday on the 31st, is it?
Yeah.
Thursday the 31st at Farmer's Market, and then we're going to be there on August 7th and August 14th as well at Farmer's Market. We've done the first two third Thursdays, but we can't make the next third Thursday because it's after our deadline. Our deadline is the 14th. Orders have to be in by the 14th, and the delivery is going to be sometime at the end of August, like the 22nd to the 24th, possible delivery. We expect people to give us their emails and their phone numbers so we can get a hold of them and let them know where the delivery is going to be.
Just in time to start jarring these things up for the winter, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know a lot of people do. Hopefully a lot of pies come out of this. That's my favorite part. Now, where does the fruit come from again?
Nolan Orchards in Palisades, Colorado.
Palisades, Colorado.
That's where all the good peaches come from.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah, I lived down there for a while, and they're absolutely amazing. So you got to make sure you got napkins with you when you buy them, for sure. Yeah,
I love those. Yeah. I love those. What happens to the funds through this fruit sale? Can you share the direct impact on those vision programs that you guys provide to all these kids?
Yes, we do. And that there's basically is what we use for all the income from that and from the main event bike ride. It's for the eyeglasses, basically.
Oh,
so most of it is used for. So,
folks should know that as they're purchasing a 20-pound box for just $40, you're contributing to children getting eyeglasses so that they can see better in school, they can see better when they're out there playing soccer and baseball. And you know, the peaches are really fun. Folks, Bill, real quick, how do I get a hold of you if I'm out there listening right now and I'm thinking, I need some of these peaches?
How do they get a hold of me?
Or even the organization?
They could get a hold of me. Maybe through an email. I have an email address at BillRathburn13@gmail.com. They could use that. And we've got other places. Jim's going to show me a place here.
Maybe.
Hand out his phone number.
And Jim's going to be a busy guy.
Yeah.
Oh, they can also email SheridanSundowners1@gmail.com.
Is that the number one or the word one?
The number one.
The number one. Okay, yep. Fantastic. And folks, I will get those up on our website today. So all you got to do is just click that link. It'll take you to one of these fantastic gentlemen's website, or excuse me, emails, and you can get yourself some peaches. Now, you also said you're going to be at another farmer's market before it's all done.
Yes, we're going to be at the farmer's market this Thursday, the 31st. We're going to be at the farmer's market on the 7th and the 14th.
Great. And all I got to do is go down there with my money in hand, say, you know what, I need some of these. I'll give you the money. You give me a card or just
a receipt.
Receipt. And you'll go home. And when these things start to arrive, you will get your boxes of peaches.
And we also, you can pay with credit card, but there's a 3% additional charge to the credit card because that's what the credit card company charges us. And we just pass it along. So
yeah, absolutely. All right. So the peaches are a fantastic event. You're going to be helping children to see. And boy, what an important, important cause. Now, looking ahead for what's next for the Sundowner Lions, the main event gravel grinder. This is going to be back when? September 20th?
September 20th.
Yep. September 20th. Can you tell us a little bit about this fantastic event?
Yeah, I can do that. This is the fifth year for the main event, and this year is going to be different. So we have some folks. We've been kind of helping in a more consultant fashion the last few years, but we felt that it would be good for us to step up a little bit more for the Lions to help do some of these heavy lifting logistics and planning and that kind of stuff. Take that burden off them so they can focus on their mission. And so this year we've changed the start finish line to be at the Kultiska Pumpkin Patch. And so the Kultiskas have stepped up, super enthusiastic with us. They're going to clear some part of their area so we can have a place for parking and dry camping as well. And so that's the real exciting opportunity and partnership that we're excited for this year. Plus, the start finish is on a standard gravel road, whereas in the past years it's been right next to kind of the highway. So it's been a little challenging because some of those folks like to really rip up and down that highway near Wiarno. So that's one of the really good and exciting things that is happening this year. We have a 25 mile, a 54 mile, and the big one's a 78 mile. And then the newest part of that is the 25 mile is all 100% gravel. That's a new out and back that we've got. And so it's a good starting place if people are new to gravel. And they have a bike that has some knobby tires or even a mountain bike. We've had people with fat bikes come out. And so it's a little more challenging for them. But if they are interested, and this is the first time doing it, this is the time. This is a really easy pace. People can come out and race if they want, but this is not quite what we're marketing towards. It's on the shoulder season, so it's toward the end of the gravel bike racing season, where kids are back in school and that kind of thing. We understand, but it's also a good cross training for those who do ultra running or anything else. And so we are very excited for this year to be something a little bit different. And this fifth year we're looking to be something special. So.
All of that, and you're also helping with a really good cause.
Yeah, all the proceeds go into the Lions Club, so to help with benefit their mission for what they do. And so that's kind of what's a little bit special about this. A lot of gravel events out there are for-profit, that kind of thing. And we are, that's not quite what we want to be. We want to be a little bit more community-based.
Yeah.
So not only bringing the community to help with volunteers, hint, hint, we use those, but also to give back. And so, and really make it something that is more, it's probably more of a local thing too, because of that shoulder event. And plus, kids back in school, we really probably attract more local community than bringing people from the region or neighboring states. Although we do have someone registered from New York of all places. So,
Eric, how long have you been involved?
In the main event?
Yeah.
Probably, well, I've ridden it a few times in the beginning and then I started doing some you know, volunteer and consulting, that kind of thing, just on how to do it. And then, so this year is the first year where myself and another individual, Adrian Kashke, Wild Vision, we've kind of stepped up to try to help, you know, be, you know, more directors of trying to bring things together for Lions Club. So,
have you seen this thing grow over the years?
Yeah, it's been I think it's been a little bit of ebb and flow in that. You know, we went through we started just after COVID, right?
Yeah.
So that was a little rough, but yeah. So it just depends because we're on that shoulder season towards the end. But this year we've done a lot more marketing. A lot more push. We've marketed to other events, even during the Dead Swede. They've been very helpful as well. Jordan over at Sheridan Bicycle Company, he's been, you know, integral in helping us as well since they've been around and doing it for a thousand riders. Ours definitely is not that big, but the same rules of putting on a really successful event apply. So they've been really helpful.
I got to cut you off here.
Yeah.
Just how would folks get involved? How do I join up in this fantastic event?
Yeah, everything is at maineventgravel.com. So that's either signups. We have information if you want to get a hold of us for volunteers. We have information for sponsors. We welcome that as well. And so, yeah, we're hoping that we have a good rush of registrations during August.
Well, that's fantastic. I know I got a couple friends who really like to take part in this, mainly they like to ride bikes, mm-hmm. and they like to serve this cause. Folks, I want to thank you gentlemen for taking the time to come in and speak with me this morning. We got Peaches on the way, folks, and the main event gravel grinder. It's right around the corner, and I'll get that information up so folks can start to get registered. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you for having us.
And thank you for everything that you guys do in the community. I really do appreciate that.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to CHAPS Equine Assisted Therapy.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit eFirstFederal.bank, member FDIC.
It's time for Sheridan County Fair Hourly Update, presented in part by Harlan Kubota, Trueville Builders, McDonald's, and Blacktooth Large Animal. Good morning, everyone. The market goats and market lamb weigh-in will be until noon today. At 1 o'clock, the swine will move in and set up. From 4 to 7, the market swine weigh-in is on, and the swine are staying on site. From 7 to 8, the market swine weigh-in with Show and Go Swine takes place. SheridanMedia.com, we're going to be live streaming, as we have been all week, and we'll continue to do so on SheridanMedia.com. All the events are subject to change at a moment's notice. The Sheridan County Fair Update, presented in part by Harlan Kubota, Truebill Builders, McDonald's, and Blacktooth Large Animal. Keep listening for daily updates every day during the fair. And make sure you go to our website, SheridanMedia.com, and check out the Everything Fair page. More updates coming up right here on this Sheridan Media radio station and online at SheridanMedia.com.
Quit spending more than you have to for irrigation systems. This is Brad Walden with C&K Equipment, and we're now selling and installing T&L irrigation systems. There's no better system, period. T&L irrigation systems are forged in America. They have the best water patterns, a winning edge controller, their hydraulics-based systems, and tidal hydration lug means less downtime. Plus, if you're having problems, we're there to service, even on weekends. We know time is money. Call us, C&K Equipment Sales, 674-6405.
Rich DeMiro here. Join me for Rich on Tech, Saturdays at 2.